anyway, well, welcome to the call, everybody. It is July 1st. I can't believe how fast the summer is going by. It's absolutely crazy. Anyway, I want to share a couple of thoughts that I have with you first today, and then we have a number of questions to get to. In my book, and if you've ever heard my one-day seminar, I say in there, I am not making perfect children. That's not my goal. My goal is to make joyful adults who know what their mission in life is and can't wait to fight for it and have solid relationships with God and family. That is my goal. And those joyful adults, that there's going to be moments throughout every day when my children are not perfect. But that doesn't matter because that's not really my goal anyway, and I understand that childhood is a learning time. Well, I want to talk for just a second about what it really takes to be a joyful adult. So, there are five characteristics to becoming a joyful adult. Number one is confidence. An adult who has joy is a confident adult. Number two is direction. They have kind of a compass. They know where they're going. Number three is purpose. They understand their duty and where their inspiration comes from. They know their mission. Number four is relationships. You really cannot be a person unless you have good, happy relationships in your life with the people that matter most. And number five is a good character. So what I want to do, as I thought about this, and I'll explain in a minute my inspiration for this particular reasons I'm talking about this topic, but what I want to do is, since we have 5 weeks in July, I want to take a minute or two each week and discuss some of these topics, the confidence, direction, purpose, relationships, and character as it relates to raising our children. So today I'm going to talk about confidence for a few minutes, which actually is probably confidence and character. The first one will happen, probably the ones that will take the most time. The other ones will be quite a bit shorter. But, confidence for a number of years, I don't think it's quite as much nowadays, was quite the buzzword when it came to teaching children or raising children. And, I mean, it's important. That's why it was the thing where everybody's worrying about their child's confidence. And then it kind of got to the point where people went, well, I don't know if that's, you know, a number of people anyway, it kind of became, well, I don't know if that's really a main thing. I mean, some people just aren't as confident as others. It's almost like an aptitude, something that someone is, they're either sort of born confident or not, and it then all of a sudden wasn't talked about as much. At least this is what was happening in the major child-rearing type articles and stuff like that around the United States as I watched them and followed them. And I want to talk about confidence because it is an important thing for raising children, rightly so, and I think that there was a good reason it was discussed. However, I think people did get a little bit paranoid and got a little bit overboard on what they thought would build confidence, and that's kind of the reason that the whole thing sort of phased out as a little bit of a parenting fad, in a way, as far as things that people talk about a lot. So we're going to discuss that for a minute today. Now, let me tell you my inspiration for all of this. So my son, my oldest son, he's 15. He and I know my poor kids, they get talked about all the time. Anyway, but it is true that, you know, that's my whole basis for, you know, that's my everyday. So that's what I get to talk about. And I said, I'm sorry, guys. It's just, you know, how it is. But usually I get to brag, which is pretty nice. Sometimes we tell about problems. Anyway, my son, who's 15, he usually always behaves like an adult. He puts in a full day's work, most all days. He studies, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day. He does man's work, man's tasks. He does all of my shipping. He does my content management. If you find some sort of a little problem in a video or something like that, then it's probably because a 15-year-old made it. But the fact that he's doing all of it is pretty impressive. And anyway, he's a smart boy. He's a hard worker. Well, this last week, I've watched him. In fact, these last few weeks, I've watched him really closely as he single-handedly prepared our family for our last two camping trips. I watched him make menus, plan shopping lists, pack the trailer, clean the house, help the small children get ready, pack all of the heavy stuff, get the trailer prepared a day ahead of time, like plugging in the fridge and all that kind of stuff, like just thinking of doing all of it, all on his own. I didn't have to ask him to do it. He just did. All kinds of other things, too, you know, hooking up the trailer, and this is these are big tasks, getting everything ready to go. This is man's work. I know that when I do it all, like if I'm hooking up the trailer, winding the thing and hooking it on and all that, I feel like a little tuckered out after. It's heavy work. Anyway, I watched him behave like a man and take on the responsibility of preparing his family for a week away from home. And I asked myself, do other youth do this? I know some do. But as I started thinking, I thought, I think most don't. I think most youth would not see that their family needs to go on a trip, see that their parents are busy with some stuff, work stuff or other, you know, community responsibilities, and just take over and get things done because they need to be done. I just don't think that most kids do that. And so I kind of was looking at him in awe a little bit, just looking at what makes him tick and why is it that my 15-year-old honestly and truly is so different than most any other 15-year-old I know, for the most part. Now, I shouldn't say all, because I know some pretty incredible ones, some that are very similar to him, some that are his very good friends, in fact, which has a lot to do with it. But I looked at him, and I thought, you know, but compared to a good majority of the 15-year-olds I see who are just distracted with, you know, just whatever, just hanging out and electronic devices and, you know, you name it, just all kinds of wasteful time. Here's my son being totally different. I also asked myself, why is it that he chose on his own to pack up and hook the trailer? And the answer I came up with was because we want him to be joyful. And we know that to be joyful, a person must be confident. We have instilled confidence in him. And this has come from multiple things. One thing in particular is that over the years, he has had expectations that he has had the opportunity to live up to. I know that that word, for some people, can carry some negative connotation, expectations. But I think that it's important for people in all areas, in business, in home, in any kind of a group setting, and when you're just trying to help a person become better in some way, that there needs to be some sort of expectations that they're wanting to aspire to, and that they feel like they have to keep learning more and trying more. If life is too easy, if things are too easy, then a person doesn't excel, and guess what? They don't have confidence, is what happens. Now, sometimes, and so he is really confident. He is a really confident person. Now, sometimes his confidence can get him into trouble, actually. You know, confidence can, you know. I'm sure you know some people who are so confident they'll try just about anything, and then sometimes they end up getting themselves in a whole bunch of trouble. But he had an experience, maybe I already shared this, I can't remember, but not too long ago, when he had, there was a the basketball hoop that was in the, he was in the back of the house, and he wanted to bring it out to the front of the house, and there were cars parked both on both sides. He didn't want to ding the cars, and so he came into the house, got my keys, and backed out one car, the truck that was there, that we had keys to, so that he could move the basketball hoop to the other side of the house without dinging the car. Very responsible. Well, as he was doing this, he was paying really close attention not to hit the fence that's on the side of the driveway on the side of the house. So he was looking very carefully not to hit the fence, and as he was doing so, he hit his father's or his grandfather's car, which happened to be parked on the driveway. Anyway, and he broke the taillight and mudged it up a bit. But as many of you might know, taillights are not super cheap things. I think they know that's the thing that breaks the most, so they make them cost, like, you know, an arm and a leg. Anyway, and so, and he was just mortified, of course. He had to come and tell me about it. And there were some issues there that happened. He did not ask me if he could use the keys to back out the car. Now, he's 15. In our state, you can legally drive at age 16. However, we have taught our children, him in particular, for some reason, at a younger age, how to drive. Not that he gets to drive any more than just mostly parking cars and, you know, in our circle. So we keep it on a pretty close hand, you know, chain. But he does know how to drive. And on multiple occasions, he'll come and ask his dad, or his dad will actually say to him, oh, you know, I got to back the car out. Here, Quinn, why don't you do it? Because he feels like it gives him practice, because he's going to be getting his license in a little bit. Anyway, so my son, who had just barely turned 15, backed into his grandfather's car. And his grandfather was out of town, and he had put his car at our house so he wouldn't have to leave it at a lot and put it in any danger, which is kind of funny. Anyhow, so at that point, I said to Quinn, I said, well, and he was being really responsible, and so I can honestly say I kind of laughed. I did not get angry at him. How could I? If he would have come and asked me if he could move the truck, I probably would have told him sure. I really honestly asked myself that question. I can't get angry. I probably would have let him do it. I mean, in a way, if anybody's at fault somewhat, I mean he's at fault, of course, but, you know, to some degree, it's like, well, I would have let him, you know, probably do it anyway. So, and I also was impressed at how responsible he was, that he was trying to move the basketball hoop for all the kids to play with, and he wanted to do it so that he wouldn't scrape any cars, right? Anyway, and so he was being so grown up and just taking on so much responsibility. I also was so impressed with how much confidence he had, that he would go and find the keys, that he would get in the car, that he would back it out. And he was backing out his father's truck, by the way, which is this big, long bed truck. And, you know, so for him to just take all that on was pretty amazing. Well, anyway, as it turns out, what happened was he, just so you have the end of the story, well, actually the end of the story applies, too, to his responsibility and his confidence. He checked around to see where he could get parts, replace the light for his grandfather before his grandfather got back into town. Excuse me, I'm telling you, this morning stuff, sometimes I yawn. Anyway, his grandfather, he did call his grandfather and tell him what happened, that he wanted to make good on it. So he called around to see what the part would cost, and it was going to cost a lot of money, like $200 or something. And he didn't even have that money. So then he started calling around other places, wrecking yards and stuff like that, where he could get one that would go into the car that would look the same and be good, but maybe would cost a little bit less. So So he did a lot of legwork, and he talked to a mechanic who could get him one from a wrecking yard for cheaper, and for like $120 or $130. Anyway, so then he got it ordered, and it came in a couple of days, a day or two, and it was the day that his grandfather was coming back into town, and he got on his bike, and he rode, because I would have taken him, except for I had to be somewhere. I actually had to go and pick up his grandparents and bring them, you know, back to our house, because they were getting off of their bus from their big trip, and I had to go get them. And that was right at the time when it came in. And so he said, well, Mom, I'm going to just have to ride my bike there. Because he really wanted to have it, you know, there and ready for his grandpa before his grandpa got back. So he went to the bank. He withdrew money out of his account, which he had earned. And that's the bank from our house is probably a good, you know, 4 miles maybe. And then he went on his bike and he rode to another part of town. And he went to the mechanic, and he brought his backpack with him, and he got the big light contraption attachment piece. He paid the mechanic. He put the light in his backpack, and then he rode uphill like 6 miles all the way home. And he got home moments after I arrived with his grandparents and with the light, and he said, here, Grandpa, and he was so sorry and stuff. And he spent really, truly a good portion of his money. Anyway, I was so impressed, and I thought, wow, look at him. Look how responsible he is. Look how mature he is. I mean, he was really behaving like an adult, the kind of adult, and he was proud of himself. He knew he had done good, even though he'd made a mistake before, and it was so amazing to see. It's an experience that will always stick out into my mind. It's confidence gone wrong, but nonetheless, it also went right. Anyway, I want to talk for a moment about the opposite of confidence, which is, of course, being not confident, being insecure a bit. This summer, I got to spend a week with a group of girls at a camp, a girls' camp, and I know I talked about this one girl in particular on another conference call a few weeks back. But there was one girl in the group of girls who had a really hard time getting along with other girls. I think I, you know, for sure mentioned her. She's a really sweet girl, but she really does have no confidence. If she doesn't get her way or plans change, she breaks down. If something needs to be done, she lets someone else do it, or at least the very hardest part of whatever needs to be done. She seems to shy away from doing hard things. These are all signs of actually lack of confidence, that a person feels insecure or not ready or not worthy to do whatever the task is. Also, the need to be pampered instead of to try and figure out how to work through something. I want to make sure there's still people here. Somebody say yes. Still people on the call, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeehaw. Thank you. Somebody mentioned yes. Okay. I know that's hard for most of you because you're muted out, but thank you for whoever's not for saying yes. So oftentimes during this week when I was staying with these girls, I would ask her if she would like to participate, or I would ask her to help with something. And she would decline by saying, I don't know how to do that. Something that most of the girls didn't know how to do. It was a completely new activity or project. But if she didn't already know how to do it beforehand, she wasn't going to do it. She wouldn't try new things. It was very interesting. I think this girl for sure doesn't have confidence in herself, and because of that, she's going to have a really hard life. Unless she can conquer this confidence problem, which many people do, and I'm glad that that happens, but some don't. And if she doesn't, then she'll probably have a life filled with really sad relationships. People will become frustrated with her all the time, and meaningful relationships will be very difficult. She's got to solve that problem. Southern's Got Child is about them that they could use. That would be really great. Star 6. Okay, so push, if you have a child talking in the background, either mute your phone or push star 6. I think that sound is gone now, so we're probably okay. I want to tell you about another kind of lack of confidence and what it looks like when a person is an adult. So I know a woman who has to lay out her husband's clothes each night before he goes to bed so that he will have something to wear in the morning, because his mother never let him pick out his own outfit. The same man can't cook, can't make his own bed, doesn't clean or care for the yard. He either goes to work or watches television because he wasn't really trained to do anything else. Food was always served to him. Everything has always been given to him. Now, I know that probably many of us are going, you've got to be kidding. Like, nowadays, somebody like that? No, there really is. And he's a great guy. I mean, he's an amazing guy. But this is really, truly how he lives his life. His wife has to take care of all these things for him. When this man is with people, he doesn't talk much. In fact, when he's invited to most events, he doesn't come because he doesn't feel really comfortable in groups. The picture of his life is kind of sad, I know, just, you know, saying it out like this, but he doesn't really fit in to the regular adult world because of his lack of confidence, actually. I only know what his wife has told me about him. So in all fairness, you know, there may be other things going on there. But from what she says, it is a sad story. He really wasn't taught. I'm sure his parents loved him dearly. And they obviously did everything they could for him. But I almost wonder if the problem is they did a bit too much. So to create a child who is a really confident child, I'm going to tell you a few things that I try to remember with my own children and that seem to really help with that. So first off, I allow them to make mistakes. If you're going to take away confidence from somebody, you don't ever allow them to be able to make a mistake. I'm sure you all know people like that, that they just would rather do it themselves. And obviously this man, his parents probably thought, well, he can't do it right. He doesn't know how to match. You know, whatever it is, wasn't even allowed to pick out his own clothing. His mother did all of that. That's also called micromanaging, in a way, where every single thing is thought of and you have to tell a person everything to do. You don't let them make any choices on their own for fear that it would, you know, either take too much time of the parent to fix it and talk about it, or just because it would be wrong and the parent is so worried about things being wrong that nobody can ever make a mistake. We've got to be careful about that. Whenever we jump into management mode as mothers and fathers, because it can happen, you get going, there's so many things that we're doing that we end up feeling like we've got to manage it all and we've got to conquer all this stuff, and so we start becoming highly efficient. And when we become highly efficient, we're pretty proud of ourselves. The only problem with becoming too highly efficient is usually we take away the opportunities for the other people around us to actually learn and grow and to have opportunities to build confidence by learning how to do adult skills. So don't do too much of it yourself. We have to allow our children to fail. The safest place to fail is at home, and so they've got to have adult opportunities all the time. We need to not be so picky about the small stuff, really, truly. There are a lot of small things that we need to not, don't let it get you all uptight. And so the opposite of all of that, because all those are really controlling, in a way, even if you're doing everything yourself and only having them play so that you can get all of your list of household things done, you're actually being controlling, believe it or not, by letting your child play all day long. You're controlling their future in a way. You're controlling the environment so much that they don't get a chance to learn, and it does them a disservice. So remember that. When you're thinking that, wow, I've got too much to do, that is the best time to teach another person how to do stuff. It really is. It might mean you don't get every single thing on the list done, but that's okay, because those three things that you did get done with your children will make such a difference next time you've got all those things to do again. This is exactly why my son was able to prepare and plan for an entire camping trip, because there have been other times where I said, okay, I need you to help me do this. We always prepare for camping trips together as a family so that all the family knows how to do it. So we need to trust that they can do harder things than we think. And they can at small ages, too. Now, I know there's different mental capacities with different children. Some of them may have some things they, you know, have to worry through. Some of them may have some, you know, they have a harder time staying on task because of different attention, you know, problems and stuff. But even those children can learn to follow a task. And following instructions is the perfect preparation for learning any task. Okay, so I want to talk about aptitudes versus skills, because that's a big part of building confidence, too. Is you have to develop the right kind of skills. If a person has skills and they know how to do things, then that person will become confident because they know they can problem solve. They know they can handle the situation, whatever it may be. So now an aptitude is a natural ability to do things. For instance, there are some people that are really good at organizing, others that are really great at figuring or problem solving, communicating. There's a lot of different aptitudes that a person could have. And I'm sure you all remember probably back in the day in school or wherever, at some point, you probably took an aptitude test. And these were the kinds of things that they were checking for, is what your abilities, either natural or at that point maybe they were learned, that they were things that you naturally are good at. Some people have a natural aptitude, confident, and to pick up skills and to be responsible, like, some people, that is part of their aptitude. Not everyone, though. There are a few. Actually, I don't really know with myself completely if that was an aptitude. I think it was for me. But I also know, too, that my mom and my dad, they expected us to work like adults and be like adults, and that's what we were working toward. And so they gave us a lot of responsibility, which increased our skills. And so at what point, for me, it stopped being just my nature and started being something I learned, I don't know if I can really say. I do know that my parents have always said that I've been a very confident, responsible type person. And there are some people who are just that way. But for the majority of people, you have to learn skills and develop those skills over a period of time, which will then lead to confidence. So teaching self-government is a really great starting point for developing skills to build confidence. If you just think about some of the things that we teach and that we're working on in our families, SODAs. Basic problem-solving skills. That is a fantastic skill to have. If you can problem-solve, you can be joyful because nothing needs to worry you if you know that you can look at and solve any problem. Family meetings, group communication skills, and organization. No need to worry about those things. You know how to do it. Mentor meetings, one-on-one communication skills, and organization. There is a different skill to communicate in a group well than it is to communicate one-on-one with somebody else well. And so the family meetings help with the group communication, the mentor meetings help with the one-on-one communication. And communication is essential. The man whose wife has to lay out his clothes, that I know, he does not like groups, and he doesn't hardly say anything to you even when it's one-on-one. He does not really communicate. I'm sure he does to her in some way, but maybe not too. I do know people who sit and watch TV and hardly say anything to the rest of their family all day long. They don't have the skill, and they don't even feel like they're missing anything because it's not a skill they've ever learned before. But the girl who was at the girls' camp with us, she could not communicate well. All she would do is break down. She didn't know how to communicate, and hopefully she learned a few things about communication. I tried to help her, certainly, when she was there. Think about the four basic skills. They learn emotional control, organization, and self-mastery. If you can trust yourself to always be able to behave properly and to know how to, learn those four basic skills, then you will be happy. You will have joy because nothing needs to ruffle you. If something happens in life, your tire breaks down, oh, well, there's a no answer, you know. And I'll tell you what, on our last camping trip, we had computer problems, car problems, everything else, and I just had to sit and laugh. I thought, you got to be kidding me. This is like one no answer after another. How funny is that? Anyway, and on Saturday night, a deer ran out and hit our car, like hit the side of our car while we were driving down the road. We just busted out. You gotta be kidding me. This is too crazy. Everything's going wrong on this trip. Then think of praise. Deliberately talking about things that the child should be doing or is doing that is good. This builds confidence. It shows them this is the right thing. You're doing good. You're on the right track. You're finding success. This is what success feels like. So praising them all the time helps that. Pre-teaching, deliberately encouraging success and self-mastery. So you're setting them up to find confidence, to have a successful situation by pre-teaching what should happen ahead of time. Then correcting and having low tolerances. You're giving the child the opportunity to feel what success and excellence actually feel like. So when they fail in some way, you lovingly correct them so that they can then feel success and excellence, and that they don't lower their bar, but they see, no, I can do this. And maybe it takes help. You know, mom and dad have to help first, but still they can learn to do something that maybe they thought they didn't want to or couldn't in the beginning. Another part, so that is aptitudes and skills. Another part of building confidence in a person is experience. A person absolutely must have ample experience to be able to be ready for the challenges of life. So they need lots of family work and family playtime. They need lots of responsibilities. As I talked about before, high expectations are good. Now, don't have your high expectations with a whole bunch of grumpiness and power struggly, control, dominating. That's not the way to teach high expectations, but letting them know that you know they can do the task up to where it needs to be, or if it seems like a hard task, that they can do it. I had a Spanish club meeting at my house a couple of weeks ago, and we were making this new recipe that they had not made before, and they were all a group of kids ages like 6 to 10, little children, and they were making these new cookies they'd never made before. And I just told them what to do, but they just did it all on their own. I didn't come over and help with anything, knives, nothing. I let them take care of it. I might remind them about some safety stuff, but I let them do it so that they can learn to trust themselves and that they can do hard things. And I absolutely loved just sitting on the other side of the counter, seeing them work in the kitchen and doing it all themselves. They were so happy. They were so confident. They absolutely loved what they had made. I had a situation with my daughter years ago. Well, it wasn't too long, I guess. It was maybe 3 years ago or two. A friend came over, and it was right around dinner preparation time. And my daughter, my children always help me make dinner. My daughter was helping me make dinner, and she was chopping up some things and stuff. And I asked a friend, I said, hey, do you want to help, you know, get ready for dinner? And she said, oh, yeah, that would be great. I never get to cook at my house. And I said, okay, well, this will be fun. So I started giving her some things to do, and I said, here, why don't you chop up this, you know, tomato or onion, I don't know what it was, something like that. And she said, oh, I can't do that. And I said, well, how come? Sure, yeah, you can, go ahead. And she said, no, I'm not allowed to use knives. She was 12. And she said she wasn't allowed to use knives. And I understand safety and everything, but I, and of course I had to say, well, okay, I'll do that. You stir this other thing. She wasn't allowed to do that, and I didn't want to go against her parents' wishes. But I looked at the girl, and I looked at my daughter, and they were friends. And my daughter was a little bit younger, and I thought, you know what? I'm really happy my daughter knows how to use knives, because otherwise I would have to do all the cooking myself. Also, she wouldn't learn anything. She wouldn't have confidence in the kitchen. And that's something that every woman, for sure, in fact, I believe every person, needs to have. And so I looked at this friend, and I thought, wow, I wonder when she's going to be old enough to learn how to use knives. At a very young age, I teach my children how to use things like that. But there are specific rules and expectations that go along with, if you're going to use knives, this is the safety, this is the rules. If this happens, you know, you won't have the opportunity to be able to. Same with things like hatchets and pocket knives and, you know, other stuff like that. At the right time, in the right place, those things are definitely allowed to be used, because we're trying to make men here, which means that they've got to start practicing the skills that they need to be good ones. So I'm a little bit rustic, I guess, but back in the day, you didn't tell your 8-year-old son, no, you can't whittle because pocket knives are dangerous. Taught him how to do it the right way, and if he cut himself, he went, see? And it didn't matter that he cut himself, because that's part of the learning process. So, anyway, I guess I kind of believe that way, because I think that they need to have experience. They don't have experience. They have no confidence. My husband doesn't have any experience with fixing cars. He can fix anything in a house. But he has no experience fixing anything with cars, so guess what? He takes it to somebody all the time for basic little things that he could fix himself. I know he could, because he's so smart, but he doesn't have any experience with it. So he'd rather not have to try and figure it out. Sometimes he doesn't have the time, once he gets to be an adult, to figure everything out if he's never had the experience. So a large amount of experiences is really important. Pre-teaching gives you the opportunity to teach your children anything, safety things, whatever, before it would ever become a safety problem. So use the lot. Think of yourself as, okay, I want to teach them the skill. What do I need to pre-teach? What kind of a, you know, thing do I need to go through? Don't be afraid to give them responsibilities. They actually really crave it, to be honest. Children love having responsibilities. So, and adult responsibilities, it makes them feel so good. They play it. Have you noticed that? My children play being an adult. And this kind of goes into the next section that I want to talk about, which is security. Not all children are ready for responsibilities at the same time. Some children have to take a little bit slower than others, but usually they want to know that adult stuff. So you need to be intuitive, of course. I'm not saying hand every 8-year-old a knife and say, have a good day. That probably wouldn't be the best choice. but they spend their time wanting to be secure, and they know that security comes with knowing how to do things, having confidence, being adult-like. And so my two little children, of course, all my children do this, but I'm talking specifically about London and Porter here. They play different things that are adult-like. Their two recent most favorite games to play are camping, and this they've been playing for a couple of years now, and they have all this stuff they've bought at, like, a local thrift store in town. They took their little money, and they went in and bought all these old dishes and stuff and broiler racks and just random things. And they have them in a big bag, and they get them out on the yard, and they pretend that they're cooking stuff, and they get dirt and leaves, and they mix up a soup, and they pretend that they're, and they get out their little tents, and they set them up, and anyway, they pretend they're camping, and they pretend they're being adults, and they're doing adult things, and it's so fun to watch them. And then recently, they've made another great discovery on a game, and it's a game that my son calls the government. So they have decided that they are the government, and they have made, like, letterhead and signs, and they've got checks, and they set appointments with people. I have appointments quite frequently where I go and meet with the government about my taxes and whatever, and they have their little desks, and they set it up with all of their papers and everything, and they spend hours playing like they are the government, whatever that means to them. But it sounds grown up, and that's what they want to do, and so they play the government. Anyway, this is what they try to do, and it's because they want to be secure with their world. They want that confidence so much, and if you can help a child feel secure by giving them the opportunity to do adult things, then they their confidence grows. So the way to help, the way for you to help them securely transition to taking responsibilities alone, and this is the where the security teaching comes in, is that you do the work along with them. And then after you've spent a certain amount of time training them and working with them and creating an enjoyable experience and teaching them to love that, then soon they will be ready to branch off on their own. That's what my son has done, and my daughter and all my children do to some extent. I have one last point I want to make about teaching confidence, and that is responsibility. And I've touched upon this a little bit, but I just want to make a few more suggestions. Responsibilities really, truly are the breeding ground for confidence. That's where confidence happens. So don't stress too much about overburdening your children. I think most people that really understand child rearing actually know that it shouldn't always be leisure. Because if it's always leisure, then your child has a bad perception of what the future is supposed to be like. So hard work is good. Even if it interferes with playtime, it's okay and it's good. My children buy all of their own things by the time that they are age 12. And when we, you know, sometimes we'll be going out for a family dinner or something, and, you know, my children will say, well, I want to pay for myself. Okay. And they want to do that because they want the responsibility of taking care of their things. And occasionally they'll say, oh, no, Dad's paying tonight, you know, or whatever, save your money. But by the time they are 12, they buy everything they need. If they need a new pair of shoes, they buy it, and they budget their money. And this responsibility is really good for them. As you can see, what happened with my son and his accident that he had and how he fixed it, because he understood, well, how much money do I have? I've got to find something for that. Now I've got to go and pay it and get it and take care of it. So we let them do things alone. My two older children can do all of the canning, like the yearly fall canning and stuff, and cooking and everything all completely alone. They can make the bread. They can do everything. And remember, praising it will make people more apt to take on more responsibilities, to let them know that they did a great job with what it was. So those are my thoughts today on building confident children. you know, depending on what my thoughts are next week, I'll probably touch on the next thing on the list for making joyful adults, because I feel like that there are a few things that we need to talk about, you know, how teaching self-government applies to this, and some of the other areas that we can be focusing on just in our daily lives. So.